This is the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by Wickles Pickles. Look for Wickles Pickles at a grocery store near you and bring those tangy and fresh pickles to your home. Now, here's Andy Burcham with another Talking Tigers podcast.
They met on the golf course, hole number three of the now defunct Auburn Links. Both were from Birmingham, but they didn't know each other. She was a golfer on Kim Evans' team, and her group asked his group to join for a scramble. Ann Hutto's team won. Dan Moon's team didn't. After graduation, they married and eventually opened Moon Golf in Melbourne, Florida. It soon grew to three stores. They are contributors to Tigers Unlimited and now host a women's collegiate golf tournament that Auburn will play in next year. Ann and Dan Moon are featured in this Talking Tigers podcast, presented by Wickles Pickles. Welcome into another edition of the Talking Tigers podcast presented by Wickles Pickles. We don't have many husband-wife teams on this. We had Josh and Paige Wetzel talking about their book in the summer. Today, we're talking with Ann and Dan Moon. Well, their golf story together, I guess, started at Auburn. Glad to have both of you with us for this holiday season. I hope it's been a good holidays and you guys are looking forward to a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Absolutely, Andy. Thanks for having us. We're thrilled to be here and share our story with you and all the listeners. And yes, the holiday season has been good in the golf business, and we're very grateful for that.
All right, let's talk about the business right up front. Moon Golf, how did this get started and where did it get started?
About 5.5 years ago, so August 1st of 2015, it became Moon Golf. I had previously been a sales rep for Callaway Golf, and while it was a fantastic job, it just was one of those jobs that required a lot of travel, a lot of time away, and Dan and I have two small kids, and it just became one of those things where we wanted to find a little better work-life balance, and this gave us an opportunity to still be involved in a business that we love, but not miss out on anything at home. And so that's how Moon Golf was kind of started. We're here in Melbourne, Florida. That's our first location. And we never dreamed, I believe, that we would have multiple locations after opening the first. But here we are 5.5 years later with three brick and mortar stores in South Florida.
Dan, we're going to talk about Ann's golf career. Sure. Talk about your career in golf, so to speak. How long have you played golf? How important has golf? I know it's your livelihood now, but talk about golf in your life before going into the business, if you would.
Oh, goodness. I would imagine I started golf around 7 years old. My older brother got a set of clubs, and the first day we had clubs, he hit me in the head, slipped me right open. And yeah, that was the ER night. That was fun. But it's just been a game that we've played for life. You know, I've played a lot of golf for a lot of years, and some good, mostly bad. You know, Ann always beats me, and she'll let me know. You know, she's always been the better golfer.
You guys are both from Birmingham. So where did you play growing up? What were some of the golf courses that you guys played in Birmingham? Dan, let me start with you.
I played a place called Quail Ridge Country Club when I was a kid. I think now it's called Castle Pines. And then once I became, you know, in the golf business, it was able to open up some doors, so play some nicer places. Yeah. But for the most part, just around Birmingham, just nice and easy.
How about you, Ann?
I was fortunate to grow up playing at the Country Club of Birmingham, and my folks lived about 5 minutes away from the course. And starting about 8 years old, I got introduced to the game by my father, my grandfather. And, you know, once I got old enough, they would in the summers especially drop me off at 7:30 in the morning, and I'd play, practice, swim, have a little lunch, and then do it all over again. And when it became nighttime, I was picked up. So it was a wonderful facility to be able to play at. And, you know, of course, we've played all over ever since then. So that's my start.
Safe to assume that you didn't get hit in the forehead on the first day that you had golf clubs?
No, I was the older sibling, so my younger brother never really got into golf, so I have no scars from equipment.
All right, and when did golf become that important to you that it became an avenue to play collegiately and to make it your career? When was that time that you thought, you know, I'm pretty good at this? This is something that I can do and do for a while and do well.
That's a great question. So I played all kinds of sports growing up, softball, basketball, soccer, obviously golf, tennis. So I did a little bit of everything. And I would say probably when I was 13 or 14, when I started winning some junior events in the state and, you know, having some personal best in terms of my score, I thought, you know, maybe this could be something I do long term. And I ended up playing basketball all the way through high school just because I loved that sport so much. And when I was probably 15, 16, Kim Evans started, you know, coming around and watched me play in some bigger events. And when I qualified for the U.S. Girls Junior, I can't remember the year exactly, but that was kind of a big moment for me. That was obviously a national event, and we traveled to South Dakota to play in that event. And, you know, my dad and I talked a lot about it. We knew at that point that we were going to have an opportunity to take it to the college level.
You guys are both from Birmingham. Did you know each other growing up?
Not at all.
No. Not at all. We feel like we may have been at a James Taylor concert together years ago, but we didn't meet until we actually stepped foot on Auburn the end of my sophomore year.
Okay, so let's talk about that first meeting, and I guess it's appropriate, Dan, that it took place on a golf course, right?
How about that, right?
Yeah.
All these years later, same thing.
Number three, to be exact, Andy, at Auburn Links.
Number three. Okay.
That's middle of the fairway, and it was that was kind of a fun day. I was playing with some friends of mine, and his group was playing behind us, and I knew two of his buddies previously because I worked out there in the summer times for John Karabas, and we kind of waved him up and decided we would scramble five holes. And so I was kind of chosen to pick my team, and then my buddy chose her team, and I didn't pick Dan to be on my team, but we had a friendly little scramble on the way in, and everybody put in $10. And as you can imagine, he paid up when it was over.
Wow.
But he also threw me a curveball and asked me out that night. And, you know, the rest is kind of history. We've been together ever since.
So you met at a golf course. What was the first date?
Yeah, I took her to the dog track.
He did take me to the dog track. I had never experienced that. And he said, it's kind of fun. Watch these dogs run.
Went over to Shorter and then lost, you know, a few bucks, but it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. We played a lot of golf together, obviously. Whenever I didn't have practice or qualifying on the weekends, we were there at 7 a.m. and we would sometimes play 45 holes with all the guys out there. And they were nice enough to include me in that on those days. And we've probably played thousands of rounds of golf together.
Well,
I guess
you're better than everybody else, of course.
And describe yourself as a player. What kind of player were you, especially in college?
I'm definitely a field player, if I'm being really honest. And if Coach Evans ends up hearing this,
she's already sent me a text this morning. So
I did speak with her this morning, but I wasn't one to be a range rat. Like I loved working on my short game, but I was never one to beat balls on the range. I just love to get out there and play. A lot of people kind of call me the modern day Jim Furyk, but they call me Jane Furyk because I do have a little bit of an interesting golf swing, but as long as it's square at impact, that's ultimately all that matters. But I guess when I was playing my best, you know, I really controlled my ball flight. I knew my numbers. I made a lot of pars. I wasn't one that was going to go out there and make 6-7 birdies in a round, but I was pretty steady and consistent. And I wasn't an All-American in Auburn, but I definitely had some great moments, and my teammates pushed me to become a better player. And ultimately that's why I chose to come to Auburn, because I knew the program was better outside of the fact that I've been a huge fan my whole life. So, but yeah, that was me as a golfer, and it's kind of the same way today.
And let's talk about those teams that you played on and those teammates. A lot of times I talk to former student athletes, and the connection that they have with their teammates is strong to this very day. And almost everyone tells me, we may not have seen each other or talked to each other in months or years, but when we did, we pick up right where we left off. Is that the case for you?
Absolutely. I am in constant contact with a lot of my teammates, and, you know, we had a lot of fun back in school, and obviously got to experience a lot of things. We have a lot of funny stories, a lot of funny memories. You know, we traveled the world. I was fortunate to be able to travel the year we went to Japan in 2001. And ironically, actually returned to the States two days before 9/11. So we have a lot of great camaraderie. We respect each other. It was a lot of fun. And recently got to come up and play an Auburn Golf Day and played with Coach Evans. And and Courtney Trimble, who was Courtney Swaim at the time, and then Diana Ramage. And of course, Andy, you know who won the tournament, right? I mean, us women got out there and showed them all how it was done. And
oh, yeah.
To give back and see a lot of people that we hadn't seen in a while.
Dan, for you, coming to Auburn, I mean, did you come from an Auburn family? What was the reason for coming to Auburn for you?
You know, it was something where I grew up until I was probably 12, an Alabama fan, because my father went to Alabama.
Right.
Okay, this is how it works. And right around that time, my older brother went to Auburn, and so I became an Auburn fan. And so at that point, you know, you always look up to your older brother, and you go, and it became something where our entire family became Auburn people outside of my father. But it was just something where it just worked. You know, they bought a place there, and we all sort of lived in the same place. You know, my older brother, my older sister, my younger brother, myself, we all lived in the same place, and not the same time, of course, but it was great. And the town itself is just, it just sort of lends itself to be very welcoming. It's a very warm area. It's just a great place. We've all enjoyed it.
I think for us, Auburn is definitely, you know, our speed. You know, it's changed a lot over the years, but when we came in, it's a little bit more laid back and definitely has that family atmosphere that we both love very much.
Absolutely.
And talk about your family growing up, if you would, please.
Sure. My family, a lot of my family too, went to Alabama, but for whatever reason, my dad and I, loved watching Bo Jackson run. And from that point on, I've always been a Tiger. And, you know, when I was being recruited, I obviously went to my trip at Alabama and a couple other places, but I just always knew deep down inside that, you know, Auburn was going to be where I was going to improve as a golfer, where I was going to fit in and feel the most comfortable. But, you know, my family, none of them went to Auburn. I'm kind of the first. My cousin just recently graduated, I believe last week. So now there's a couple of us, but my dad and I have always been huge fans, and he kind of got me bleeding orange and blue.
What were your options coming out of high school?
You know, really Auburn and Alabama were the two big ones, a couple smaller opportunities, but, you know, Alabama at the time, you know, the program wasn't as far along as Auburn was. And I really looked at, you know, in fact, I got less of a scholarship to come to Auburn than I did Alabama, but I just knew that for me, if I wanted to improve, that I needed to go where the team was already strong so I could get pushed. I actually redshirted my freshman year, you know, learned a lot from our juniors and seniors. And the next year we brought in Celeste Trochet and Danielle Downey. And I feel like that kind of rounded out us as a team. And from that point on, we really were one of the strongest teams in the country. And I want to say going into my last year, we were preseason ranked number one. There was a year where we won five events, and if we didn't win, we finished second. So we were just strong. Coach did a great job of bringing in some first-class players, and it changed every week. You could travel 1 week and then back to qualifying, and the next week, you know, you're not traveling because we were just a deep competitive team and we all pushed each other.
What did Coach Evans mean to you? And she's been on this podcast a couple times. One, sure, to talk about the work that she does with veterans on campus now, but we've also talked about her battle with cancer and that victory over cancer. So what did Coach Evans mean to you guys as the head coach at that time? And now as someone that, you know, she's your former coach, but I'm sure a friend as well.
I feel like anytime I talk to Coach, I thank her for the opportunity. You know, back then she always looked at some of the better players from the state and always wanted to give those players an opportunity. And I was fortunate enough to be one of those. But, you know, the opportunity she gave me has absolutely led us into our career now and the success we've had in the golf business. And being a woman in the golf business, which is still, you know, a male dominated industry, just having that credibility of playing Division I college golf is so huge for us. And, you know, Coach, I'm sure there's times she wanted to wring my neck. You know, we like to have fun, and I'm sure we tested her patience at times. But at the end of the day, her fight with ovarian cancer, you know, I can't tell you how thrilled I am that she has beaten that fight. My mom, I actually lost my mom to ovarian cancer back in 2014. And, you know, but I think about my mom's journey and her fight. And when she was diagnosed, she, you know, really wasn't given a long time to live, but she totally defied that and lived 10 years and we're blessed that she was able to meet both of our children. And when she passed, Coach obviously came up and was there with me. And I sometimes think about, you know, my mom's journey and how Coach probably looked at that and has just been fighting this whole time. And I'm so glad that she's come out on the victorious side.
Let's talk about the business and how it started. You were repping for Callaway at the time. Dan, for you, how did you get into the golf business?
I was fortunate enough that way back in the day, gosh, it was 03, and Ann knew the manager at Evan Watts in Birmingham.
Okay.
And you know, I had taught before, you know, taught some college and I was done with that. And she said, hey, you know what, let me put a good word in for you. And she got me my foot in the door. And it just sort of blossomed from there. A few years later, I have my own store in Jacksonville, Florida. And then I worked until 2009 when she became a rep. And then we moved to Florida and I worked for her, which was fun. And I worked for her until 2014, end of 2014, when she had to fire me.
I did have to fire him, Andy. It was kind of.
It was a nepotism thing.
I knew there was a story there somewhere.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, there's definitely a story.
No, we had fun with it, and then, you know, we decided, you know, just to take the journey. Like she was saying earlier, get out of the rep world.
It was a fantastic job, you know, working for Callaway and to kind of go back to his comments. He definitely, I guess I got his foot in the door and he ran with it and, you know, had a great career as a manager for Evan Watts, managing a couple stores. And, you know, when he moved down to Jacksonville, I obviously stayed back in Birmingham and packed up the house that we, I think, lived in for 12 days because that was the timing of it all. And then he kind of got my foot in the door. You know, one of his Callaway reps actually came in to visit him and, you know, needed somebody to execute some demo days, which that's how I got started with Callaway. So Dan obviously recommended me and I worked hard for a few years as a tech rep. It's kind of what my position was called. So I would travel around to all the private clubs and set up a tent and sell golf clubs and just kind of learned as much as I could about the Callaway business. And when an opportunity presented itself, we went for it. And we decided to obviously leave the retail world and get on the other side for almost 7 years. And
yeah,
I guess going back to my mom, Andy, you know, one of the last things she ever said to me that really kind of hit home and probably spearheaded our decision to leave Callaway was, you know, remember, we're only here for a little while and I just don't want you to miss out on things. And, you know, she recognized how much I loved my job and that I was good at it, but, you know, life is short and you just never know what you might miss out on if all you do is work. So about 8 months later was when I resigned from Callaway and one of my former customers, who was owned a Golf USA here in Melbourne, she was ready to retire. So we struck a deal on the back porch one night and Golf USA became Moon Golf.
You're both from Birmingham. You were working in Birmingham. I understand the idea of living and working in Florida just because there's so many opportunities to play golf. Was that solely the reason to move to Jacksonville originally, Dan?
No, sir. Yeah, it all came down to the opportunity. It was like, hey, look, we have a spot here. This is where you go.
Yeah.
You don't have the opportunity to pick your own place. No, okay. Hey, I'm glad it was Florida and not Arkansas.
Yeah.
You know, but we've loved Florida since we moved here. We lived in Savannah since then, but also here in Melbourne, it's great. You know, the weather's great. You know, the golf is great. You can't beat it.
All right. In the area that you guys live in right now, mm-hmm. How many different golf courses can people play in that immediate area?
Six or seven?
Yeah, closer to 10 if you go just a little outside of Melbourne. You know, Melbourne's really growing. When we first got here, you know, we both kind of looked at each other. And, of course, this was before we had children. We were, I don't know if I want to be here forever. And then, obviously, you know, we had kids. And Melbourne really has boomed in the last, you know, 10 years or so.
It's moving growing. From Savannah where there's a lot of things to do.
Yeah, you know, we'd come from Savannah. We didn't have kids yet. You know, we were kind of like, oh, what are we going to do in Melbourne? There's not a whole lot going on here. But, man, has that changed. I'm going to say there was like 8,000 new homes that are scheduled to be built in the next 5 years. A lot of, obviously, being here on the Space Coast, there's a lot of tech jobs, you know, Northrop Grumman and Boeing and Harris.
And so it's fun to watch the launches.
We get to see the launches. So, you know, when it came time to, you know, name the business, you know, some people think you're crazy if you use your last name for if you ever wanted to sell it. But I'm kind of like, you know, moon golf works. I mean, we're on the Space Coast and, you know, a lot of times people, if they don't even realize our last names, I mean, we could be the Smiths, but moon golf still sounds kind of cool. And it's just worked for us. So even if we, we do sell it one day, I think that, you know, whoever would buy it would be able to run with the name moon golf.
Wickles Pickles is proud to be the new sponsor of the Talking Tigers podcast. From Saturday sandwiches to Thanksgiving dinner, that secret 90-year-old recipe has people from all over calling to get some of those sweet and spicy jars. Look for Wickles Pickles at a grocery store near you and bring those tangy and fresh pickles to your home. Made fresh in Dadeville, Alabama. You guys are in a business that changes so much just as far as technology is concerned. I mean, there's something new on the market every year. Heck, probably more times in a year. How do you plan that? Talk about just the strategy of keeping up with the Joneses, so to speak, and then selling that to the golfers.
Sure, that's a great question. You're so right. Products come out all the time, and everybody does it at different times. So you really feel like there's something new every other month. We have great partners. All of our reps and our regionals, you know, do a great job of helping us manage new product launches. Our employees are really golf nerds and golf junkies, so they love reading up and keeping up with everything that's going on in the golf business. But it does take a lot of strategy, especially when it comes to purchasing, because now we have three stores, you know, almost 23,000 square feet of retail space. And, you know, those are big POs that are getting cut for new product launches. So having been on the other side of the business, Andy, I think really gives us an advantage because we know how it works, especially me, having, you know, written orders for customers and strategized with buyers at country clubs or retail establishments gives us that opportunity. And if you look at the people that work with us as well, one of our business partners was a former rep as well. So we have a lot of experience across all 26 employees. And, you know, we love this game. We love the equipment side of it. So yes, it can be a lot at times, but it excites us. And it's something we enjoy it when the new stuff comes out.
Dan, what has 2020 been like for you guys, just from a business standpoint?
Through February, we were on record pace. And then mid-March through early May, I believe we were shut down in about 6 weeks. And Ann and our partners did an amazing job of keeping things going. We did not have to lay anyone off. We were able to pay everyone their full salaries. And since then, it has been amazing. I'm just so thankful and grateful that golf has been essential. You know, people being able to play golf, get out there. And a lot of new golfers come to the sport. We have a lot of wives, girlfriends, you know, a lot of ladies are getting into the sport. So a lot of people, you know, it's been great. You know, we cannot complain. It has been so great.
Why do you think you have new golfers? Maybe more new golfers this year than in years past?
Because there was nothing else to do. Everything else was deemed non-essential. So I tell everyone every day how grateful we are to be in the golf business versus restaurant, bar, bowling alley, you know, things like that, that you cannot get out and do.
Yeah, we're very fortunate, Andy. I mean, when we opened back up May 10th, we really haven't slowed down. It's been incredible. And to Dan's point, we go to bed at night being very grateful that we're in the golf business. I feel for so many small businesses out there, you know, that aren't able to let people in and there's not a demand for some of the things that they have to offer. But with golf, it just hasn't stopped. And a lot of the courses had to, you know, they weren't allowed to use golf carts. So the push cart business was through the roof and then you just couldn't get them because everybody was they were getting out there and walking and whatnot. But every day we're setting records. All three businesses have surpassed their best year. And that's being closed for 6 weeks. So there was a lot of pent up demand and we're, again, very blessed to be in this business.
You're both Auburn University graduates and you're giving back to Auburn now through Tigers Unlimited. Talk about that decision to give back to Auburn through your success that you guys have now.
It's just Auburn gave us so much, so many opportunities. The time there, you know, has really been a big part of our success. And Dan and I have always believed that it's important to give back, especially to a place that gave us so much. So that was his line in the article. So I figured I needed to use it. But it's just those men and women on the golf programs. I remember, you know, the golf house was one of the things that they were using when they were recruiting me. And of course, it didn't get built until I think they broke ground on it my last year. So I didn't get to enjoy the facilities that the teams have now. And I just, you know, if we can contribute and make sure that they always have the best equipment, technology, and facilities, that's important, because those men and women, you know, are fantastic golfers, are competing at the highest level, and they need to have the best resources available to them. So it's something we want to do for as long as we can.
Let's talk about the Moon Golf Invitational. How did that come about? Where does it take place? What kind of golf course is it played on?
We're going into our fourth year. So 2021 will be our fourth year. And it started, Courtney Trimble Swaim, who was one of my teammates and one of my best friends. She was coaching at the University of Louisville for the women's golf team there. And she always has this way of calling me up and saying, you know, hey, Viv, my first name's Vivian. So she calls me Viv. You know, I think you should do a golf tournament. You know, I think we need to come down there and there needs to be a Moon Golf tournament. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, well, tell me how that looks. And so we kind of started talking about it. And sure enough, we said, okay, we're in. And the first year, you know, it was a great tournament. Wasn't the strongest field, but you have to start somewhere. And one of the things that we did that I think the teams and the coaches really enjoyed was we let the players come in and go shopping at Moon Golf as part of their, I guess, gift. So they get, you know, they get an amount of money to spend, and we kind of, you know, close the store down after hours, and they all come in, and it was just so much fun. They loved being able to do that. They loved being able to get what they wanted. And from there, we just kind of kept building on it. And Louisville is the host school, and Courtney's no longer coaching anymore, but she's still very involved. And each year it's gotten stronger. And now we're getting people calling and saying, oh, we want in. Yeah. Obviously, we can't let everybody in, but this is going to be one of the strongest fields ever. It's played at Duran Golf Club, which is in Vieira, which is in Melbourne. It's about 10 minutes from the store. Got a great practice facility, and that's the big reason why we have it there. It's a big driving range. They have a cool little par three. The hotel accommodations are very close to the course. Most teams just fly into Orlando. It's a super easy trip for these coaches, and a lot of them are from up north, so they come down a couple extra days in advance to be in the Florida weather and sharpen their game. So we got a strong field though this year. Obviously Auburn's coming. We're very excited about that. I mean, Alabama, LSU, I mean, obviously Louisville, Furman, Oklahoma. There's some big name schools. A lot of SEC schools will be participating.
That's got to be exciting. You've been on the other side of that. You've played in those tournaments. That's got to be exciting to be on the host side of that event, I would think.
Absolutely. It's
pretty cool.
It's a blast. You know, our kids love getting out there and watching the girls play, and we just have a lot of fun with it. You know, we feel like, you know, women's golf is something that, you know, can continue to grow. And a lot of these players too, you know, they have aspirations of making it to the next level. And it's a hard sport. Not everybody makes it, but I feel like this is an opportunity also to show women that, you know, if you don't make it on the LPGA tour, you can still be very involved in golf. And they see that through our business and our story. And, you know, we're always looking for women to come work for us. And, you know, we feel like this is an opportunity to showcase what we do to them.
I've got to ask this. You've both been, I guess, involved. I know, Ann, you were involved with Callaway for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. What is it like now selling all the brands out there?
I love it. You know, I this is our brand now. You know, right. I think the first year that we did this, I was obviously I'm still very loyal to Callaway. They make great products. They've been great to me. They are kind of dominating right now in the golf business. And they're one of our best, if not our best partners. So they do a great job supporting our brand. But at the end of the day, we love to help golfers find what is right for them. So we don't have any bias. You know, we do our talk, you know, the fitting bays do the talking. Our guys are highly trained. They get in there. So oftentimes you see people leave with a variety of manufacturers in their golf bag. And we're the same way. We have a hodgepodge now. It's all about Moon Golf, and Moon Golf's all about finding what's right for everybody that walks through our doors.
Dan, what's the next big thing? What's the next big thing in golf technology, whether it's shoes or balls or wedges or whatever on the horizon?
Early February, we'll start seeing a lot of new stuff coming out. I mean, right now, Titleist just launched some new stuff. Callaway, TaylorMade, King, everybody's got new stuff coming out in February. you know, all proprietary things that are, you know, better, faster, easier to hit, things like that. I wish I had an answer for you that was a little bit more specific.
Yeah, I mean, I think
everything's good nowadays.
Yeah, ball speed is everything, Andy, in the equipment world. So these companies continue to you know, test the, or really reach the limits of how fast the golf ball can leave the club face, but they're also trying to find ways to make the club more forgiving and not just faster off the center, but faster off the toe and heel. And yeah, the Titleist driver is probably something that, you know, they've always kind of been a little slower in introducing that new technology. And so I think they stepped up their game this year because the Callaways and TaylorMades of the world are always way far ahead when it comes to technology. So really it's about the face technology in the woods and even irons to today.
You know, Andy, I think it's not about, because USGA limits how fast the ball off the center can go. It's about how well your miss hits go.
Yeah.
You know, and these manufacturers, they design these faces and these technologies that allow you to, if you don't hit it dead center, which most of us don't, you know, how much are you going to lose?
Right.
The better new drivers are and clubs in general are going to give you a better result than the old school stuff.
It's all about how good you miss it, not how good you hit it.
That's true. Yeah.
How forgiving it is.
That absolutely is
true. Yeah. All right. Let me, before we get to talking about Auburn, let's talk about the kids, Caroline and Matthew. How old are they? How are they doing?
Oh, they're great. They're
6 and 9 respectively.
6 and 9. Caroline's our oldest, and they are big soccer people. So they love to run, especially the little guy. We sometimes think of him as a human Red Bull, but they're great. They love golf. They think it's cool that, you know, mom and dad own the golf store, and you know, they've definitely done some commercial shoots for us, and you know, people around here really love seeing that and seeing, you know, our family get involved. So, but they're wonderful. Last week of school before the Christmas break.
Do you guys get an opportunity to play much?
Yes and no.
We try.
Yeah, yes and no. It depends. You know, when you got people that are taking vacation, usually we have to, you know, fill in a little bit. We try to play on Fridays. That's kind of our day to try to get out and play. We're fully staffed here at the store, and I usually can sneak out and get around in. So try to play with customers a lot as well. And also our employees. Our employees, they love to play. So any chance we can get out there with them, we try to do it.
For both of you, what did Auburn mean to you as a student, and for you and as a student athlete? As now as parents and someone and folks that are in the business, what does Auburn mean to you now? And Dan, let me start with you.
Sure. I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. As a student, it was, you know, heck, I don't know how most students look at it, but I was just trying to make sure I had enough good grades to get out of there. Not because I was in a hurry, but just because I just wanted to make sure I was able to finish. It was wonderful. You know, I love the aspect of hitting all the different buildings around campus, you know, getting a little variety. I even work for the computer department as a student job. So I got to go to all the computer labs all around campus. So you got to see some different buildings you would never normally be in. It was awesome. You know, Auburn has a really special place in our heart. And I met my wife, my partner, my everything at Auburn. It means the world to me.
Dan, how about you?
Auburn's everything. I mean, it like I said, you know, to echo Dan's sentiments, you know, I still feel like we would have eventually met if we both didn't go to Auburn, but you know, it was wonderful to meet your life partner there all those years ago. But Auburn just to me means family. You know, we've spent a lot of time traveling, and I've been all over the place. And if you're wearing an Auburn hat or an Auburn shirt, the way people, you know, say War Eagle to you, you know, you can just tell it's just got a different feel. I mean, the campus has changed so much since I was there, but I always just loved being there. I just loved the way it felt, the way it looked, the way people treated you. Everybody's always nice. It's got that family feel, and our kids love Auburn. Oh my goodness. I mean, you know, we actually had an opportunity to come up there and tour the football facilities with Coach Malzahn a couple of years ago. And you know, he was wonderful in the sense that, you know, Bo was right there and he said, come on over here. I want you to meet the Moons. They, you know, Ann played at Auburn. Here's her kids. Here's her husband. And like, my little guy was running all over the practice field. I mean, like he was going to score a touchdown, but they see our love for Auburn, and it's quickly They've definitely absorbed our love and passion for Auburn University.
In a non-COVID year, how often are you able to get back to campus?
I would say a couple times a year, you know, but we hope that that changes sooner than later. You know, we've got a lot of great people that work for us, and you know, it's kind of given us the opportunity to take off in the summer times. We have this thing called Moon Month where we just say, all right, let's go, let's leave. And, you know, we spend a lot of time at Lake Martin and, you know, try to get down to Auburn when we can. We always stop in Auburn on our way up to Birmingham to see family because it's on the way. So I think going forward, though, it'll be more than that. I definitely want to come back for any golf events that they have. That was a lot of fun a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, I would say going forward, hopefully 4 or 5 times a year, Andy. We love being there.
I wish you all the best in hosting the Moon Golf Invitational coming up. When do you have dates for that right now?
Yes, we do. It's February 14th, 15th, 16th. I believe that's a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Okay.
It's always around President's Day. So Courtney will be coming down. I think Coach Evans is coming down. So we'll have a good time and obviously have to put some COVID protocols into place. But again, you can be socially distant and play golf. So we're very, very fortunate for that. Yeah.
Guys, thank you very much for telling your story. I certainly appreciate it. Wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and War Eagle.
Thanks, Andy. Thank Merry you, Christmas. Andy. War Eagle.
This will be the final Talking Tigers podcast for 2020. And what a year it's been. We'll pick up again January 4th, celebrating Auburn's 2010 national championship team with its head coach, Gene Chizik. For Ann and Dan Mood and the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by Wickles Pickles, I'm Andy Burcham. Be strong and be courageous. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. War Eagle.